Grace and peace be yours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I would like simply to highlight two passages surrounding and framing the last reading. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind shall be bound, and whatever you loose shall be loosed. Yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, which is, of course, always celebrated as the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and so it is. But if we might speak even more broadly biblically, it is the day in which the church continues. But when that Spirit came upon the apostles, what happened was this: that the promise of God that the ministry of Jesus would continue in and through His church was realized. That self-same structure appears in this chapter of Matthew. Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And we move through this commissioning on Peter, which finally is the commissioning of the keys of binding and of loosing. In a way, it's a highly spiritualized matter. The Holy Spirit came. Tongues of fire, rush of wind, speaking in foreign languages. But from another perspective, it is a very common thing. Perhaps too common. Too lowly. Perhaps for us, too daily and too commonplace. It is that constant speaking of the forgiveness of sin, of one to another, the pastor to his flock, of common Christian to common Christian, person to person. That is Spirit-filled speech. And every time it is said, it's Pentecost. Every time those words are spoken, you are living Acts 2. I suspect it's not for nothing that the evangelist Matthew reports that when Jesus asked that question, who do men say that I am? That there Jesus called himself the Son of Man. That figure, both lowly as well as heavenly, who judges. And it is upon Peter, finally, this other man, that he speaks of founding his church and giving to that church the keys. And it's upon us too, common folk, flesh and blood, sons and also daughters of men, that these words continue to be spoken. There's a lot of controversy, of course, most of it ill-founded, I would judge, as to who the rock is or what the rock is. So I'll tell you what it is. It's the confessing and forgiving Peter. That's who it is. Peter's dead. So who today is the rock upon which the church stands, and the gates of hell do not prevail? It's you, that's who. You are the rock. When you confess, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and confess what it means for that Christ to be alive. I forgive you your sins. The church exists today and at every moment by the continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those who had actually confessed that Christ is the living Son of God. And because He lives, He does still yet what He did, namely forgive the sinner, proclaim release to the downtrodden, and give life to the dead. If He lives, where is His word? Where is His consolation? Where is His forgiveness? Unless through you. These are, to be sure, both comforting as well as awesome words. For they bespeak a warning. Bind up. Fail to speak and they're bound. We do not have a choice, you see, whether we forgive our neighbor or not. The church does not have a choice whether it has the absolution of sin. Why not? Why is that freedom not there? Because not to seek forgiveness is to declare Christ dead. It is to close His mouth. It is to shut His word. It is finally not to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. There's the real punch of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Christ spoke those words in another way. Confess men before me before men, and I will confess you before my Father. Don't, and I won't. Put in the language of our text, either you forgive or you will not be forgiven. Either say my word of forgiveness or you declare me no Christ, you declare me dead and still in the grave. You lock up in heaven the work of God on earth. And that, no, no. That is to deny everything. So when we think and celebrate Pentecost and sing those great hymns, we're not speaking pure history. What happened? We're bespeaking the reality of our own life in Christ. We're bespeaking the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us. And the speaking of that Holy Spirit as the Spirit of the living Christ. And so, who do men say that I am? I ask you. Now confess. The Son of the living God. Quite right. Only God has given you, my friends in Christ, such knowledge. And so I say to you, you are Peter. And upon that rock I build my church. And against you, Satan and hell itself will not stand. For those sins you forgive will be forgiven in heaven, and that which you retain will be retained. You live in Pentecost, a great power. Power that rules the world, I mean really rules the world. Nothing more powerful than that word of forgiveness. Nothing. Not nations, not armies, not Schwarzkopf, but Colin, Powell, none of them have such awesome power. But it is the power of the Son of Man, who came in the lowliness of sinners to be sinner among sinners, out of sin and to sin to say, I forgive. The power of Christ's cross, the power of the living Christ, and the glory of God the Father. So we sing our hymns of Pentecost, you bet we do, because that's the hymn of our forgiveness and frees us to forgive others. so that Christ, the living God, may be living amongst us. And that's real good. It opens up our daily life to be turned out from our little carry to say a good word to another. It frees us from the hurts of our own hearts to the hearts that hurt elsewhere. It frees us. I am forgiven. I am Peter, the rock. I forgive you, therefore, your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.